Today's reading is from Ruth chapter 3. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly and covered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl that you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word that you've entrusted it to us. Lord, speak to us now as we open it and have a look at your word from the book of Ruth. Amen. Now, Ruth is a romantic book, and that's not an easy subject for everybody. Not everyone has had a good experience with love and romance, and for anyone that's ever asked someone to marry them, or even to go out with someone, it's one of the most scariest things ever. I don't know what your experiences are like, but I know as a guy it was really scary, thinking, oh, I get rejected here. And I remember when I was going to ask Evelynka out, I bought her roses, and I went to visit her in Poland in her town, and gave her roses, but I'd never got to ask her out. It was too late until I got back to England. But if you show the next slide, I wonder if you can recognise this place. Has anyone ever been to that place? It's Durdledore. Now, who likes Cliff Richard? Do you remember Saviour's Day? That's Durdledore. He filmed that at Durdledore. That area, looking down there, that's where I proposed to Evelynka to get married. And she said yes. And she stood on the edge of a cliff and I got on my knees. I don't know what would have happened if she said no, but there we are. Durdledore. So all those who are married, I wonder what place you got proposed to or where you proposed. But I wanted a place that I could go back to time and time again. And that we haven't been back actually since that time. So we're going to have to go one time to Durdledore. Well, today's story is a little bit like a marriage proposal. Culturally a little bit different. But it's a proposal, really, from Ruth to Boaz, who we met last week from chapter 2. And it could have turned out quite disastrously. Let's have a look at the background. If we go to the next slide, Chris. Oh, it's very tiny. But anyway, you can see that Ruth was a Moabite. Okay, she wasn't Jewish, she was a Moabitess, but she came all the way from Lot, and Abraham, of course, the Jewish people came from. So, in some ways related. Now, Moab is where modern-day Jordan is, on the east side of Israel. And the story happened in the time of the Judges. Any time from 1375 BC to 1050 BC, probably towards 1050 BC. And a man called Elimelech and his wife Naomi, they left Israel, the promised land, and they went because of famine. They left Bethlehem. We all know Bethlehem from Christmas, don't we? Do you remember what Bethlehem means? House of bread. Yes, Beth, Beit, house, and Lechem, bread. So if you go to Israel, you go to a restaurant and you're hungry, just say, Lechem, Lechem, and they'll give you some bread. Okay, so they left the promised land and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And sadly, Elimelech, he passed away, he died. And then Mahlon and Chilion got married to Orpah and Ruth and the two sons died, childless. Naomi decides, I'm going back to Bethlehem. I've heard that the harvest is back. So she decides to leave. And she tells Orpah and Ruth, go back to your families. There's no point in being with me now. I'm going home. Please go back. Orpah did, but Ruth, she didn't. She said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. What a commitment that was from Ruth. That it's hard even today from someone from another religion to become a Christian. They face persecution. They face death. But here she is deciding, I'm going to worship Yahweh. I'm going to become a Jew. I'm going to be like Naomi. So they go back to Bethlehem and they discover a field and Ruth starts to get glean food. Not starburst, but crop from the fields. And it turns out that that field was owned by a guy called Boaz. And Boaz was a relative of Elimelech. So he perhaps also felt the sadness of losing a relative. Boaz was God-fearing. He had a heart for the poor. He had a heart for the stranger. He had a heart that was like from God. And Boaz goes out of his way to look after Ruth. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead, she added. That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers or kingship redeemers. Naomi, who Ruth followed, she saw what was going on. She thought, hang on a minute, Boaz, he's been really kind. I wonder if he could take care of Ruth. They had a very different welfare system back there. And Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10. This is the system that they had in the Old Testament. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take care of her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry the name of the dead brother, so that is his name, and it will not be blotted out from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders of the town gate and say, "My husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me." Then the elders of the town shall summon him and talk to him. Now, if he persists in saying, "I don't want to marry her," his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, "This is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line." That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. That's harsh, isn't it? In those days, of course, they didn't have benefit system. They didn't have money from the government to help them through their tough times. You really sink or swim? I think that's the word, isn't it? These two ladies didn't have anyone. They were going to starve if they didn't get help, if they didn't have support. And here was Boaz, and Naomi thinks, "Oh, I'm going to be matchmaker. I'm going to be Cilla Black. And tonight on blind date..." And she advises Ruth to go to Boaz at night, because that was the Jewish law. She was thinking that she could get married with Boaz and be looked after. That was how it worked in those days, because family looked after family. We're very individualistic, aren't we, in our culture? You know, we have someone living up there, someone living down there. How many times do you see your relatives? Oh, once every 2 years or once a year. And some families are really close. They see each other a lot. But families in those days were really important. And having children and seeing families continue was important. So here we have Naomi as a matchmaker. And she advises Ruth to do something that is, in our day, would be really not acceptable. When I was a youth leader and when we took young people away, the girls remain out of the boys' room, the boys out of the girls' room. And there's a lot of liberal people out there in Bible colleges as well that read into this scripture more than what actually it's saying. Some people say that when we read Ruth 3, they were getting up to some naughty business. I want to point out 5 reasons why I think that is rubbish. As a conservative Christian, I believe this is why it's rubbish. First of all, verse 14 actually points out that they recognise the awkwardness of the situation, because she's a woman and she shouldn't be in the threshing floor where the men were working. They recognise that. And it doesn't say anywhere that anything happened sexually. Then number 2, the Bible, if you read the Bible, you'll notice there are lots of encounters, romantic encounters. It's not shy, the Bible's not shy in writing about sexual encounters. The writer of Ruth is not English. And if anything bad or anything like that happened, the writer would have actually written it. He wouldn't have used euphemisms or whatever. So that's another reason why it didn't happen. Thirdly, we cannot impose our standards on the world of Scripture. You know, people at Christmas time, when they look at Mary, you know, the Virgin Mary, "Oh yeah, Virgin Mary having the baby, come on." We are imposing our experiences in this 21st century Britain, sexualizing everything, promiscuity. And sex is a bit of an idol today. So what looks dodgy in our story today may not be dodgy back then. And it may not be all that it seems. This, by the way, is the only part of the Bible that we see what happened like this happened, where Ruth lays at the feet of someone. The next one is Ruth 3 appears to show Boaz as an older generation. How does he address Ruth? Not my sister. No, my daughter. My daughter. He may not have seen Ruth in a romantic light. And then there was that element of surprise. You could have married someone younger. Why me? So there was an element of surprise which shows us that in this story, nothing happened. And last of all, the point of Ruth, the book, is showing that Boaz and Ruth were people with integrity, godly people. If anything was implied or wrong about what happened, it would have just shot the writer in the foot. It would have been pointless painting two people of integrity. So I want to say this because you will meet people who will criticize the Bible, will find anything to distort what is actually true. And they will distort Ruth's character and Boaz's character. And I want to defend them because actually this is scripture. And I'm not having any nonsense from people out there making lies up about Ruth. She is a person of integrity. Boaz was a person of integrity. I just thought I'd leave that out there. So there's, as you can see, Jesus came from the family tree of Ruth and Boaz. God had a plan to bring this couple together eventually. Do you want to go to the next slide, Chris? So there's 2 points before communion, and because of time, I'll be short. The first one is choices. Choices. Now, Ruth witnessed Boaz's attitude to the poor and to the stranger. We all have a choice of choosing the friends that we choose. It's not, let's take it away from the romantic element. Every one of you have friends and people that you spend time with. It's always good when you choose a friend or when you choose a partner or when you choose someone is look at how they treat other people. Because they may be friendly to you, but if they're friendly to you, but they treat someone up the side of a road like a piece of dirt, you have to ask yourself, is that the sort of friend that I want to be friends with? Is that the sort of person I want to spend time with? Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Ruth had a choice. Yes, she chose the field. But she went to Boaz because she wanted Boaz to take her in marriage. She looked at his character. If that's how Boaz treats the poor, I want to know Boaz more. If that's how Boaz treats a stranger, I want to know that person more. And there's some wonderful people in this church and in the church nationwide. You think, do you know what? They're wonderful examples of Christ. I want to be close to them. I want to be friends with them. I want to choose my friends wisely. So choose your friends wisely because we're all influenced by people and we want to be influenced by people that are godly. The second and last point, very quickly, is the idea of being covered. Remember that Ruth was at the feet of Boaz and she says, cover me, cover me. Now, if I said being covered, I'm sure that most of you will think of insurance. How many of you have had a bad experience with insurance companies? Something gets damaged, you phone out, yes, I've got something damaged, you owe me money. But do we? Have you read the small print? We don't. It's a small print. And insurance companies, and if you work for one, I'm really sorry, but I'm generalising here. A lot of insurance companies will find any way not to cover you. Find any technicality. Ruth asked Boaz to cover her with the corner of his covering in verse 9. This wasn't an attempt to keep warm. This wasn't, oh, give me the covers, I'm freezing. And Boaz, who's that? Who's taking the covers off me? It's not about that at all. It's symbolic. Ruth wanted to come under the love and protection of Boaz, a kinsman redeemer. Now, there is a picture there of your relationship with Jesus. Jesus doesn't cover you with a blanket. Or maybe he will one day, I don't know. He doesn't cover you with a blanket. He covers you with his blood, the blood of Christ. That's why we celebrate, we take part in communion. The wine is a symbol of the blood of Christ. Jesus died for you. You are covered by his blood. If you are a Christian, you are covered and you are forgiven. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You see, the meal comes from the Passover. The Passover was when the Jewish people painted the blood of a lamb above the door, and they were covered. The angel of death came into Egypt, and everyone that had the blood above their door was safe from their first eldest dying. They were covered. When we become a Christian, we are covered. Jesus is your kinsman redeemer. He is the one that has come and said, "You are mine. Come and be covered. Come and be part of my family. I will protect you." So we come to God in a similar way to how Ruth went to Boaz. And we are covered by God. We are like under the shelter of his wings. The question is Jesus your redeemer? Is he your kinsman redeemer? If you don't know Jesus, you are not covered by his blood and you are not forgiven. That's why nobody else has died for you. That's why coming to faith is important. Jesus died for you. And it's the only way, the truth and the life. And the only way you can be forgiven is through the blood of Christ. People treat religions like clubs. Oh, well, what about the truths here? Well, no one else, Buddha, Muhammad, nobody else died for you. Nobody else is your kinsman redeemer. Nobody else, no philosopher, no whatever, theologian, has died for you and forgiven you. You come to Jesus and he covers you and you are forgiven. Let me read Psalm 91 very briefly about the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you love Jesus, he's with you in this life and the next. You are covered by his blood. He is your kinsman redeemer. So in conclusion, Ruth came from another land. She worshipped another God, a stranger. But she found a home in the promised land. And through the pain of losing her husband, she stood by Naomi, maybe thinking this is the final chapter, one of poverty. But it turned out that it wasn't the last chapter of her life. It wasn't the last chapter of poverty. It was a new chapter, a beautiful new chapter that God has put in her life. Her choices, unbeknown to her, were falling perfectly in line with God's will. And she would become the great-grandma of King David and an ancestor of Jesus. Our choices matter. Our covering is essential. We have a Redeemer, not Boaz, but Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our kinsman Redeemer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for us, that we are covered by your blood. Lord, if anyone here doesn't know you, I pray that they will give their life to you and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me and give me new life. Amen.